Previously on Compassion Radio.
We have to be willing to say to God, show me my cross. My cross may or may not be physical death here, but we've all been called to pick up a cross and follow. We have to come to a moment where we're willing to say, what's normal with the world is not normal for me, because I've got a higher calling. I'm deployed here on hostile territory for a short period of time, and I've really got to ask God to make me effective and show me my cross.
Intrepid.
When God tells you to go, then everything works out. He provides.
Involved.
It is so exciting to see what God can do, and this is why there is so much hope.
International.
Compassion Radio allows the listener to get involved in projects that are going to change history.
This is Compassion Radio.
Tracking the triumph of God in every nation on earth. Hello, and welcome on in to Compassion Radio. As we start today's program, sitting across the studio table from me today is none other than Bram Floria.
Jimmy, I'm glad to be back for this part two of this T2 Gospel program. We introduced you to a magnificent pastor yesterday. His name is Tim Floyd, and he pastors a congregation right outside the D.C. metro area. When I discovered him through his blog, T2 Gospel, he had a lot to say that was so well-spoken and so well-versed that I thought this guy must have some solid mission experience, and true enough, he has. He's a guy that's traveled around and seen how God is actually at work in many of the world's hotspots, and he brought back that sensitivity born of real experience to his pastoral ministry here in the States. For us, of course, at Compassion Radio, that makes him a hero of the faith, because he gets it. He understands that the world is not just American Christianity, and that truth, as God reveals it to the world, often comes through repeating the suffering of Christ in his own body as a massive testimony and irrefutable proof of the love he has for mankind. And this particular blog called Don't Look Now, But resonated, and it went viral, as we talked about yesterday. And that viral message of this blog, we need to dig into it a little bit deeper, and we'll do that on today's program.
And you know, Bram, I do recall a very pointed phrase that Pastor Tim used yesterday. He talked about a clarifying moment. He said, would I stand for Christ the way these souls did? Would I stand for Christ? That really, really struck me.
You would think it'd be kind of a hypothetical exercise. We can imagine ourselves having to stand for Christ under real persecution. But it's a genuine question that real people of faith around the world are literally facing every day. Will I stand for Christ today? And if I do, would it cost me my life? The true answer, of course, is that it wouldn't cost them their real life. It would only cost them the life in this body. They have an eternal perspective on things, that suffering is only momentary. And that to be with Christ in your suffering is to be with Christ in his glory. They have incredible bravery, a courage that is born of the Spirit of God living within them.
Wow, those are some powerful words, Bram. But let's get started right now with part two of your discussion with Pastor Tim Floyd on today's Compassion Radio.
We're back with Tim Floyd, pastor of Providence Baptist Church, McLean, Virginia. We've been talking a lot about his viral blog on the suffering of the church and why it's not covered by the media. And I want to revisit the actual passage you wrote, Tim, before we begin anything else on today's program. And by the way, thanks for coming back to join us one more time on Compassion Radio.
Thanks for letting me, Bram. Good to be here.
Now, you make a contrast in this blog about the media coverage of the Manchester bombings with the Christians that were then slaughtered just a few days later in Minya, central Egypt. Now, there were big differences between what transpired during that time, but they were both attacked by people who claimed to be under the aegis of ISIS.
Yeah.
Now, the first bombing that made worldwide news was against, we would say, innocence. People had just showed up for a concert to enjoy a time together, and they were blown to bits. And it shakes us, it rattles us. But it's also one of those disasters we can walk away from because it can't repeat itself quite the same way. Maybe another place, another time, but it's a done deal. The thing that happened in Minya was that Christians were lined up one by one and demanded of them that they would sacrifice their conscience, their faith on the altar of their life. They were given the option of standing for Christ and dying or denying him and living another day. And the Christians chose the former. And they didn't count their lives so precious that they would not be willing to sacrifice it for the promise and the guarantee of eternal life with their Savior. And so they did. They sacrifice their lives. And you say in your article that the media runs away from Christian martyrs because they are powerful witnesses to the Christian faith. And they don't know what to do with that story. How do you report that as a news story? Because you're talking about eternal things. And that it's much easier to talk about tragedies where the dead can't speak anymore. But in the case of a martyr, their blood speaks from the ground and their words speak for eternity. The media doesn't know what to do with that or how to process that. And you're saying that this is literally the story. The eternal commitment they've made will never be forgotten, that it'll be written down in the book of life. So how should that be motivating us today, Tim?
Man, I'll tell you, Bram, I recognized something that's been true for centuries. Throughout the ages, when martyrs have been put to death and have been willing to choose, I will die rather than renounce my faith. I would die before I'll offer a pinch of incense to the emperor. Mm. It has been true throughout the centuries that speaks to people. You know, somebody dying without a choice is always tragic. Somebody dying in a tragic situation, somebody murdered for his faith, that's always a terrible thing, and it always gets our attention. But when somebody has a choice, when someone actually could say something and walk away just by making a statement or doing something, and instead they're willing to take their death rather than give up their faith, that screams that their faith is powerful, that shouts about the glory of God and the assets of eternal life. And so when people would rather trade their lives voluntarily rather than say something else and live but compromise their faith, boy, that's always been a very moving thing. It's always gotten people's attention. As far back as Polycarp, mm-hmm. AD 90 or there, Polycarp's death, people came to Christ watching him burn. And so when I realized this wasn't being covered very well, it struck me, well, of course, the reason is because Manchester is sensational and it's tragic and it's children. But man, if you talk about Menya, Egypt, you're going to get into people that had a choice and they chose to die for Christ. That just speaks about the power of the blood and the awesome strength of the gospel and the good news. So to me, that just inspires us. We should be so clear about speaking the gospel clearly, about letting the good news of Christ emanate from our lives. We need to be so true to that because you realize that's where the power is. The power is not in just the reporting. The power is the content of your life.
And now, in their case, the power is in the blood.
Yeah, exactly.
You mentioned at the end of last program, Tim, that the desperation in prayer had come upon you in times of desperation. You learned about the power of prayer uttered to God in desperation. In fact, you saw deliverance happen because of that. You saw a young baby rescued from almost certain death when a fever would have taken her, that the fever would break instantaneously as the people agreed in prayer and God's heart was moved to listen and to answer that prayer instantaneously.
Yes.
He entered into your sufferings together and he answered you.
Indeed.
You have an experience in missions that have taught you this because you've been up against that situation where there was no other option but for God to do something. That we would see our spiritual conditions in the same way, because as you said in the previous program, we can always run to our doctors for our health issues. We don't need to trust God much for those anymore, except when it's beyond the help of doctors. But we are always beyond the help of men when it comes to the condition of our souls.
Amen.
We have to call out to God out of desperation to see God answer the prayers of desperate people. We need to recapture our desperation is what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
Now, tell me a little bit about your life and missions and how God put this fire on in your soul that you carry now into the pastorate back here in the States.
Oh, I can tell you exactly how it began. Years ago, I was working with a ministry out of Fort Lauderdale, Florida, called Evangelism Explosion. Dr. James Kennedy launched his program, and we taught pastors how to go back and launch training in their churches. And as the ministry began to spread around the world, I found myself in South Africa trying to report what was happening there in the churches. And one of the people I met took me across the border into Rhodesia, which had just been renamed Zimbabwe. Mm-hmm. And the Civil War had just ended, and now they were trying to rebuild the country from all the terrorism and the devastation. I'll never forget, Bram, we were traveling through the Vumba Mountains there in the eastern highlands of Zimbabwe, and man, we came to this former mission, and it had once been known as the Elam Mission, and there had been four families of missionaries there during the Civil War. And one night, the terrorists came and forced them all out on the field and took their lives. Killed them all. This huge tragedy, and to my astonishment, they told me the rest of the story was this. A couple years later, when the Elam missionary movement called for new missionaries to come in and replace these who'd been brutally murdered during the Civil War, they had no trouble finding volunteers. Volunteers came quickly, left the comfort of home, and risked their lives to move here to be a minister to these people. So I just caught this new passion for missionaries. And the price these people pay, they don't just leave their cousins and their moms and dads far behind, but they invest invest everything in what's it going to take to reach these people in a strange culture in a foreign land? What's it going to take of me? And they're willing to pay the price.
Amen. And we will get right back to this conversation in just a moment. I do want to ask you to stick around as we talk about a tremendous opportunity that we have to share Norm's ministry library with seminaries worldwide in our Legacy of Learning Library project. And we'll touch on that briefly in just a few minutes. In the meantime, you can reach us anytime and from anywhere at 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. Or, of course, find us online at CompassionRadio.com.
What's it going to take to reach these people in a strange culture in a foreign land? What's it going to take of me? And they're willing to pay the price. So we began to serve there in Zimbabwe, went back several years, and then later on when I went back into pastoring, I began to take churches there to Zimbabwe. And as you probably know, things just got worse and worse and worse there. And every year we went, we had something different to do. So they finally, I think by, I guess it was like 2005, the political environment had resulted in a famine, and the stores and the shelves, the markets were all empty. Across Zimbabwe, there was no food, no supplies on the shelves. And next door, the stores were full. In neighboring nations, in Zambia and Botswana, the stores were full. But man, in Zimbabwe, there was no food because there was no money. Yeah. Nothing was coming. And so on that trip, we actually raised a bunch of money. Our church raised thousands of dollars, and we actually rented trucks and drove from the markets in Zambia across the border to Zimbabwe. We had to bribe people. You can't believe it, but with trucks loaded down with food for starving people, we had to bribe guards in Zimbabwe. Mm-hmm. We had to hire people to chase baboons away. We had to transfer supplies from a Zambian truck to a Zimbabwe truck. It was absolutely bizarre. Yeah. But we just spent days there bringing food across the border because we realized if we could take advantage of a terrible situation and could resource the churches there in Zimbabwe could have influence, because as they're able to distribute food to hungry people, people begin to realize they can trust the church and they can come to the church for assistance. So we just distributed this food to churches, and the churches passed it along. And it was amazing for us to see the gospel at work. As you give the churches that cup of cold water to offer people, they were able to offer the cup of cold water, and the people were coming to churches and respecting pastors. We just got fired up, and we realized an average-sized church can do really cool things if you just look for the opportunity.
Now, God never wastes a crisis. We know that.
No, and exactly.
Neither should we. We are his people. Exactly. So as we have the opportunity to join with him in meeting a need, exactly. Of course, giving a cup of water to somebody who's thirsty is a wonderful thing. It shows genuine compassion. But staying with them when things are tough and continuing to come back and build the reputation of your God in the process and winning friends to the kingdom is eternal work.
Yeah.
You outlast the famine. You outlast their doubts. And you stay with them, suddenly the kingdom has an outpost.
Yeah.
I think about the kind of things that are attacking the people of Venezuela right now. It's the same kind of false hope that's been, as you mentioned, in Zimbabwe. There was a falsehood at the very root of the political system that ended up coming home to roost and starving people and destroying a nation. It's happening right now just south of us.
Yeah.
This is not unusual to the human condition. And the question is always going to be, the kingdom knows its root, it knows its source, it knows its provision, it knows its God. Every time a crisis like this comes up, we have the opportunity to continue to bring the kingdom forward.
Exactly.
This is not about retreating.
Somebody told me last week, a friend of mine who was kind of my mentor, he said to me that if you recognize a crisis and you run to the crisis, you'll always find an opportunity embedded in the crisis. Mm-hmm. And so you fix the problem and you also get a great new direction, a great new idea. So I've been trying to practice that and run to the problem. And I found, generally speaking, as you know, that tends to work. You trust God, you run in the right direction, he opens a door, and good things can happen.
And great heroes of the faith are out there running to the conflagration right now and bringing a cup of cold water, a spiritual one, and also seeing God extinguish fires.
Indeed.
I mean, God does miraculous things in the battle, but we have to get there to see it. And I'm proud of people like you, Pastor, that have gone to the places where God's hand is at work, where people are desperate enough to call out to a Savior and see him save. So it's a great testament to me that there are congregations around this world in America that are catching it, that are getting infected with this virus, if you want to call it that.
Come on.
Of compassion. It's a disease worth catching. Back to the blog that started this whole conversation. And I want to, by the way, give you a shout-out. Your blog is called t2gospel.wordpress.com.
Right. T2 Gospel. True to the Gospel. T2 Gospel.
The letter T, number 2, gospel.wordpress.com. If you have a chance to read some of Tim's writing, please do. He writes very eloquently, but he doesn't take the poetic route. He goes straight to the bare minimum to get the point across. And you make a thesis statement toward the bottom of your article, Tim, that says, the media run away from Christian martyrs because they are a powerful witness to the Christian faith.
Yeah.
And Christians in America will tend to turn their backs as well because the stories about martyrs in other lands reflect poorly on the quality of our faith here in the West. Sometimes these stories do need to indict us. Other times, yeah, they need to remind us of our better angels and say, we need to step in and step up, not out of shame, but out of love. That God is calling us to things that are bigger than ourselves, and he's inviting us. He's not shaming us into action. He's inviting us.
Exactly. I use the term clarifying moment because it doesn't make you feel embarrassed. It makes you feel hungry. It makes you feel, I need more, you know?
A wellspring that wells up into eternal life. Hunger and thirst more after righteousness, you'll stay hungry for it forever.
Indeed.
So, friends, in Compassion Radio land, we would say, follow this example, friends. You met a new one here in the Right Reverend Tim Floyd of the Providence Baptist Church in McLean, Virginia, and his t2gospel.wordpress.com blog. He's encouraging his family, and now, of course, it's spreading like wildfire to the rest of the world, and Facebook picked it up, and all kinds of people have suddenly noticed that he's writing well to something that we know in our heart of hearts is true for the church around the world and needs to be even more true for us in the West. So this gospel is coming to life in soul after soul, and I want to thank you, Tim, for doing your part to not just raise awareness, but to motivate people to actually step into the spiritual battle together.
Thank you, Bram, and best wishes to Compassion Radio Nation, man.
And hopefully you'll write some more stuff that will be worth talking about on the air soon. Thank you again for joining us on Compassion Radio.
Stay tuned, brother. Bye-bye.
Well, Bram, that wraps up day two with Pastor Tim Floyd. So excited that you not only met Pastor Tim, but we were able to share that story with our listeners. And you talked about this particular article, this blog that went viral. Now, what exactly does that mean?
We talk about viral as being something bad, and then suddenly it's something good. In social media, of course, it's supposed to mean that it infected the world with the story, and that the story is somehow important. True, it is important, but we ended the program, as you notice, talking about the viralness of the truth getting into our body of Christ, that this is a kind of virus that needs to infect us, the virus of compassion. If we're going to be inoculated against the evil in the world, it's not going to be because we stayed away from it. It's because we have been literally sin-proofed. We have an immunity to the evil that is behind so much of the world's suffering. That immunity is not something that makes us proud. It's something that makes us tender and able to engage those who need to know the love of Christ. And I'm hoping that we get this kind of inoculation a lot more. Tim and his congregation there in McLean, Virginia, are a fine example of people who have taken to heart the sayings and the commandments of Christ and are living out literally a Good Samaritan lifestyle. So I'm very proud that we have had a chance to get to know them just a little bit, and I look forward to more conversations with the Reverend Tim Floyd in the years to come.
And one of the aspects that the two of you were discussing was the whole idea of God inviting us in and not shaming us.
Indeed. How many times have we listened to something thinking, oh, I could never do that, or I should have done that, I didn't, I can't start now. God is wanting us to step boldly before the throne room, not because we have proven our worth, but because Jesus is our worth, and he wants to indwell us. Again, the idea of infecting us. He wants to be the very soul within us, the power, the life, and the light, living out through us. So it's a partnership. If we invite Jesus in, we're inviting him to be with us right from the very inside. And I've mentioned many times before in the program that if we're not seeing God around us, perhaps it's because we're doing the right thing, that we're looking in the direction God wants us to look, and he's looking out through our own eyes. We engage the world by trusting, by faith, that God is going to use us in ways so close and so personal that it's like being in the same body, because we are. God literally inhabits the praises and the actions of his people.
Well, Bram, I salute you. A great two-part series with Pastor Tim Floyd. And listening, friend, if you want to hear this broadcast again, and I trust you do, and I'm sure you want to share it with your friends and family, be sure to go to our webpage, CompassionRadio.com. Check out the podcast and share it. Share it with your friends. Get this audio out there.
Maybe things will go viral again. Amen to that.
A Compassion Radio podcast going viral. I like the sound of that.
Hi, I'm Sandy Floria. For the past 20 years, Compassion Radio has been a part of our family in some fashion. You see, when Bram took the position as web developer in 97 and then producer 10 years later, it was never just a job. It was a ministry our family believed in. It wasn't just the statement of faith or even the set of values. It's a compassionate mission. At Compassion Radio, we seek to be the hands and voice of Christ's compassion, serving those who suffer the most, wherever faith costs the most, and then we bring the stories to you. Proverbs 14:31 says, "Those who help the poor honor God." Won't you help us continue this mission? Will you give compassionately? Please contact us today by phone, mail, or online. 800-868-2478. P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859, or CompassionRadio.com. Thank you.
Well, here we are, Bram. We're rapidly closing down June.
It's amazing how fast it'll fly by. It's officially going to be summer here in a few days, but it feels like it's definitely summer all over now. Kids are mostly out of school. Things are kind of getting into the summer mode. You're thinking about travels and reunions. But it's also a season of great ministry for us at Compassion Radio. It's always been a difficult time of year, of course, to get people engaged because they're busy with all the transitions. Mm. But the work of the body of Christ around the world goes on, of course. And we don't want to forget those who we've committed to. And this month, we're committing to a long-term project. And I mean long-term in that it's going to have a long-term effect. And that is our Legacy of Learning project.
Absolutely. It's all about Dr. Norm Nelson's incredible library, a library that he had been working on for many, many decades that we are looking to send out to missionaries and to believers all over the world. And we've been pleased with the response thus far from our wonderful Compassion Radio family, but we really do need to step it up for the seventh inning stretch here in the month of June.
It definitely is a seventh inning stretch, and we need to stretch ourselves a bit, faith-wise and in getting our blood flowing again. These projects each month have specific goals in mind, of course. And Norm's library, we're not talking about an ego project here. In fact, we're talking about exactly the opposite. What we're trying to do is see not a legacy with his name all over it, given to a university somewhere, and it's a collection that's worthy of that. The things that matter to Norm the most were the eternal things. Norm's great love was for the pastors that do the hard work of taking the gospel that very last mile. And those pastors, they want to know the Word of God in as much depth as possible, and they want to know how they fit into God's great story. And Norm's library, of course, collected and preserved a huge amount of wisdom and knowledge about Islamics, about missions history, about the early church, about the ancient and future church, the third wave of Christianity happening in the 21st century. He collected great works on that. His desire was to see that collection have practical usage for those pastors who are being trained in this century.
And of course, the whole idea is to send the books to seminaries, to libraries, from hard-working, hard-studying brothers and sisters in Christ, really all over the world. And like you said, Bram, this is going to be a long-term project, but we need our Compassion Radio friends to really help get behind this project so that we can do our due diligence as far as the packing and the shipping and the planning. It's really a massive project.
Yeah, it will be. But we are getting started in the right way. We're having all the titles cataloged, and pastors are already contacting us saying, can we get these books? In fact, we have some of our best and most loyal supporting families in Compassion Radio already connect us with new seminaries that we're talking to around the world. Countries like Nigeria, the Middle East, and Central Asia, in Africa. There are places that are going to receive these books because, friends, you sent them. Mm. And some of these titles are great, and they're out of print. So we're talking one-of-a-kinds in a lot of cases, and some of the best contemporary scholarship that's available as well about how the church needs to grow and take on the tasks of the 21st century. And pastors that are in training want to know what the rest of the world is experiencing, and some of the best scholarship on the planet came through the English language. So we want to give what we can from the things that we are rich in so that they can be rich in the things of the kingdom. And of course, the entire body of Christ is so much richer for the incredible faith and practical work that pastors and young seminarians around the world are doing in their countries of origin.
You, Cher, and I were in discussion about Norm's library and how frequently I would pop into his office and Norm and I would visit when I could find a place to sit down because he had so many books piled on chairs and whatnot. But oftentimes, as Norm and I were discussing, and perhaps he was on the phone talking to somebody, and I would just kind of gaze around me and just marvel at the depth and the breadth this incredible library, and how pleased Norm would be knowing what the plan is to do with his incredible library.
It is his heart. There's no doubt about that. And I want his heart to live on through this Compassion Radio family. So friends, do what you can this month to help us pay forward the incredible richness that God has blessed you with and blessed us with in the decades before us, and pay it forward to the church ahead of us. We want them to be able to have in their own hands some of the best of the things that God gave Norm and he gave us through Norm over the years.
Amen. Well said, Bram. Thank you, friends, for your cards and your letters and calls to share Bram and the Compassion Radio team. Continue to correspond with us. It is important to us to hear from you. Please call our office at 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address, Compassion Radio, Post Office Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Online, we're at CompassionRadio.com. And that phone number once more, 1-800-868-2478. On behalf of Bram Floria, Cher Nelson, and the entire Compassion Radio team, have a wonderful day in the Lord. And we'll see you again next time with more Compassion Radio.